Hey, Bill.
Laverne, of all people. This must be our show.
It must be. I'm so happy to be speaking with you. I know it's been a while now. You've been traveling all over the world.
Well, all over the United States, which some, obviously, from the news, think that's the whole world.
Right.
So I get it.
Yeah, yeah. This their own little Idaho. It's like, okay, we are the only ones that exist.
Yes, and it's a good thing because I don't like them.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Bill, I was at my desk reading an article on the former NFL player Aaron Hernandez and reading his suicide note. And, you know, I found myself crying because as a mom, I'm sitting there going, he has the love for his daughter and his wife, you know, even though he's murdered several people and he cut. Quote, comes from, quote, the streets, and, you know, the streets never left him.
Right.
You know, and he's labeled, you know, he's labeled that way. But he still loves, he still has love for his daughter and his wife. And I'm not saying anything about, you know, him killing anyone, but just the fact that you may have a son or a daughter, and you don't know what they may grow up to be or to do. And does that love ever die? Does it, you know, I know my son may have done horrible things, but I still love him.
Well, I think there's family love. There's love by blood, which men and women find very hard to let go of. It's very hard to really damage a mother's love or a father's love. But we also have to remember that there are a wide range of people when you say mother or father. So there are people that have kids and don't even love them.
Oh, right.
And there are other people that have kids and love them to death. But I think overall, a parent's love stays there. You love the person, not the crime. And I think that's an important thing. I think in order for that to really happen, the parent has to be willing to acknowledge the crime in order to love the child in spite of it.
Yeah.
You can't deny there's a crime and still love the kid because you're often a false start to begin with. But it's a very tragic situation, obviously.
A very tragic situation. And I guess you know, like when you hear reports of, you know, moms and dads or family members making statements about a relative that has done a crime, a horrible crime, they always come out with, you know, we're very disappointed in the actions of our son or daughter or whatever. But I mean, that's all PR, but they never accept. They may never accept that the crime itself.
Yeah, and I think there are two different levels here, which, excuse me, also apply to the person that commits the crime. I'm talking about the crime of suicide, not the crime of murder. I hear people say, you know what, he did that, his parents loved him, you know, he ignored their love, he ignored this, he ignored that. And people don't understand that what is driving the suicide is a kind of tunnel vision which doesn't allow outside issues in. If I'm feeling very, very depressed over something I've done, I'm not going to be out there fiddling around with mother love and father love and uncle love and all that. I'm going to be focused on my upset at what I did or how I'm feeling. So if I commit suicide, none of those people are even in my mind at the time I do it. I might write a suicide letter trying to explain myself, but that doesn't change the fact that it's a highly personal experience between the individual and whatever they've done or think they've done. So there's that. And then there's the parent, who's in an awful position in that they don't want to sound like they're condoning what the boy did,
right,
or girl. But at the same time, they love them, and it's their child. And, you know, that's the hardest spot to be in, because you have so many judgmental, snap-to-judgment people out there that, oh, how could you love him if he did that? And what kind of, you know, all that.
Yeah.
And it's funny that people never are reluctant to show you how shallow they are. Because none of these things, love, family love, suicide, none of those things are simple issues. They're all deep and complex.
Oh, definitely.
And, you know, just as a parent has no right to take credit for a child's accomplishments, they can also feel very good about the example they've set. But on the other hand, a parent whose child does something like the murder may have set a perfectly good example.
Yeah.
And they have absolutely nothing to do with what their son went off with.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes back to, you know, personal accountability, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, I'm not sure we want to rehash this on this show, but the reality is that it's not environment, it's the individual.
Yeah.
There are plenty of kids that grew up with the same background that he did that haven't killed people.
Yes. Yes. And,
you know, and I think that's a false premise.
Well, I think people try to figure it out. Like, how can this NFL star that's making millions of dollars not, you know, not escape his background and continue to, you know, make false choices or make unwise choices. Yeah.
Well, there again, they're oversimplifying, because the reality is he had a reason for killing them.
In his head.
Whatever it was, he had a reason for killing them. That reason didn't sit down and say, well, I'm making this much money, and I'm doing this, and I have this. It's not interested in any of that. It's interested in what it's upset about.
Mm-hmm.
So it excludes all of those other, what we call mitigating factors, but they're really, to the person committing the murder, they're not thinking about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if in sort of oversimplify it, say that he wants to kill somebody because, you know, they gypped him or something, I don't know what it was. And then you say, but you're making minions in football. He's going to say, what's that got to do with his gypping me?
Right.
Screw him. I had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people, Monday morning quarterbacks are always oversimplifying, and, you know, they're just so full of garbage.
Yeah.
And people want to know, why did this happen and why did that happen? You can't solve that problem because you can't talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine to talk about Aaron Hernandez, but if you want to solve the problem, you've got to find out where the most murders are committed, who's committing them, what are the economic and other factors affecting these people that put them in a position where they feel that murder is a solution. But then you can't talk about who they are because that's racist.
Mm-hmm.
So we just won't do anything. And then you get the other clowns that are out there saying, well, of course, he was black, or he's this, he's a football player, he's a star. You know, they have no morals. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
And you can't treat things like this as a general thing. I mean, there's no general suicide. There's no general murder. Everyone is specific and unique. And the pressures and factors that went into it are unique to each individual situation.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, you take 14-year-old kids that kill people to belong, to fit in a gang or whatever. But even with something that qualified, they're all different. One may feel insecure. One might feel threatened. One might be afraid if he doesn't do it, they'll kill him. Another one might want to show off and think that they're a big shot. Do you know what I mean? There are all those different reasons, even with the same behavior.
Yes, there's so many things that go into it.
Right. You can't solve a problem worrying about the symptoms, and you can't solve a problem if you can't look at the facts.
And a lot of people do not want to look at the facts. When I arrived here in Los Angeles, I was kind of raised sheltered. I didn't know too much about suicide. I knew it happened, but I didn't know. And I was invited to this luncheon, suicide prevention luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
And I left there crying. I cried for like a week straight. It was me sitting at this table, like hundreds and hundreds of people there, both doctors and people that have tried to commit suicide and people that are affected by suicide. And every single person that came up on stage was, I tried to commit suicide one time. I was the one who survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. And by that time, I was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And they were, like, describing their day of how much it took for them to just survive that morning. And it was overwhelming. Like, a lot of people need help. And just the amount of work that they had to do to make it through the morning it blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a simple issue.
I just got a headache, Doctor.
And they don't want to look at the facts.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing behind the whole PC movement is to hide reality.
Yes. I've been talking with you a while now, Bill Burns.
And yes, I've been listening.
And I see that now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good.
Well, no. And it's not good. I mean, God save me from liberals, but not that I'm a conservative, but... The reality is that they're only interested in idea. They think it's a good idea. They've got to get it done. They've got to get it passed. They've got to get the legislation done. They never look at the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And we're living in a world of tremendous unrest created by these so-called well-intended social crusaders. And... unless they're willing to talk about the facts and say what's really going on and who's really being hurt and why they're being hurt, and then we're not going to get anywhere.
You know, this past week, I posted my first real political Facebook post, and it was a joke, but it was kind of serious, and it was I said something like, you know, I can't wait for my new book launch. Victimhood is for suckers. What kids should learn prior to becoming president.
I see. That wasn't pointed, was it?
And boy, did I get some responses. And of course, you know, this gentleman responded and was... you know, saying, well, your book's 8 years too late and this and that. And I was like, you know what? Victimhood is nonpartisan. I was like, love is nonpartisan. You know, accepting responsibility is nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, you know, I have the opportunity to teach my 4-year-old son what it takes to grow up, to be accountable for his actions and what he's doing in this world, and
right.
not to blame people. And I
right.
said, I'm so proud that I have the opportunity to do that. And then he responded back with some other negative stuff. And I said to him, oh, you know what? I am so glad my 4-year-old son can comprehend my previous statement. hope for our future, exclamation point.
Good. It's nice you didn't say, and you can't.
Yes. I was trying to, like, skew it. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to go down that route.
Well, the more we try to oversimplify something, and the more we want to make it black and white, and the more we want to make it about simplistic things, the stupider we look.
Right.
And I think that's sort of tragic.
It is. It really
is. If you want to solve something like suicide, I mean, there's a lot of suicide in every profession, whether it's the big leagues, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's acting, God knows, whether it's music or where it is. And most of the time it's because somebody gets successful faster than they get self-confident.
Yeah.
So they've got this huge success and they're terrified by it and they're afraid they can't repeat it and they're afraid it's going to be falling away. And then they get so carried away with themselves that sometimes they just give up and quit.
Mm.
But nobody wants to come along and say, you know, this rock star that made $30 million yet last year is suffering from an inferiority complex. And then all the morons out there, well, oh, I wish I had that inferiority complex.
Right.
You know, because they just don't get it.
Well, or like, well, I wish I had his money. I wouldn't be like that if I had his money.
Yeah, right. You know, but they did a study of people who win the lottery, and so many of them suicide.
Right.
And even more of them bankrupt. So.
Because they can't handle it.
Right, so, because they don't have, people don't understand that money is huge responsibility. I mean, I fortunately have a number of clients that have a tremendous amount of money. And that cash, the responsibility for that money is so great on their hands. One of them has even bought their own jet to be able to make the board meetings of the charitable organizations of which he's a part, just so that she can get those seeing eye dogs and those help dogs out to the people who need them, just so that she can be sure these animals are being trained. Just, and she has to be all over the country, and she can't do it on a commercial ticket, and so she had to buy her own plane just to be able to be helpful.
Right. And people look at that and say, I can't believe this woman bought a jet.
I know. I know. And they're too stupid to get it when you explain it.
Right.
Now, they wouldn't be if they were benefiting from our money.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, great wisdom comes with getting your way. But, you know, if she's out doing all this so that people get seeing eye dogs and so on and so forth, people that don't need seeing eye dogs think that she's being a show-off by buying a plane. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But what about some people that may view people with a lot of money that make decisions that are based on their own reality because they don't know, they've never been to a town, a small town where people need programs to have, that may be the only food that the child is eating. I don't know. I know, I just went off on a tangent, but...
Well, you know,
I don't know.
No, if you want to have a bias or prejudice, there's no way that anyone can win.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're prejudiced against people that have money, then no matter what they do, they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They give it to the wrong people, or they should have done this, or they should have done that, they should have given it to me, or they shouldn't, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if they don't give money, well, they ought to, they have it. I don't know where people got the idea that just because people have money, they should be giving it to people too stupid to earn it.
I know.
Or too challenged by life to earn it.
Yeah, because, you know, most of them the people that I know that have money, they've worked very hard at getting the money. Very
and
hard.
And do.
Yep.
I mean, these people just don't laze around. They're busy more than I am.
Their life exhausts me just looking at their schedule.
I mean, I'm not sure I could keep up with Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or those people that have a lot of money and are doing so much.
Mm-hmm. But again, with that money brings a lot of responsibility.
Yes, it does. But but not being responsible to the guy that thinks they ought to get it.
Right, yeah.
But people with a lot of money have a commitment. Let's say that Jeff, I don't know whether he does or not, but let's say that Jeff Bezos has a charity. I'm sure he does.
I'm sure, I don't know.
And people say, well, he could give more. He's got all this money. Why didn't he give more?
Mm-hmm.
I think Mr. Bezos is more interested in creating jobs than giving money away.
I love that product.
Yeah. But he's wrong no matter what he does.
Yep. You can't win for losing. I always say that.
Right. He creates 150,000 jobs with one plant.
Mm-hmm.
Or he should give more money to charity. Mind your own damn business.
Right.
If you want to give money to charity, you give it.
Yeah. Mind your own.
Yeah, and it goes back to the personal responsibility for self thing.
Mm-hmm.
People are always trying to blame somebody else. Somebody else is always wrong. They should do it my way. I'm not going to take the time to understand why they did it their way, but it should have been done my way, and that's so much crap.
Yeah.
It really gets me crazy when people blame everybody else for their problems.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's
because ultimately, anything that goes on in your life is a learning lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spiritually, it's a learning lesson. So even if somebody is to blame for something going on in your life, your job is to learn from it, not complain about it.
Someone pulled me into their office the other day and is like, Laverne, I don't understand what you're doing. And like, I'm sitting there going, I'm looking, I'm and I'm like, I'm cool. I know what my learning is. I know what's happening in my life. I don't know why you're so in angst about what I'm doing, but I'm
right,
cool.
Right, well, what was their issue?
Why I'm still in a certain situation.
Oh, well, they certainly need to know that. On their birth certificate, it says, has the right to be nosy.
Right. But they were coming out of care and wondering.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm actually enjoying what I'm doing.
Right.
After a year, I'm like, oh, I get it. You know, I'm excelling. What? I'm cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you were very cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do a lot for a lot of people. And most of the people around you do not, and yet they have all this to say.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I don't have any respect for people like that, but I get it.
But then another person asked me, well, why do you think these other people are putting up with this? And I'm like, I have no idea what their learning is.
No.
I have no idea.
No.
So all I know is me, so.
Yeah, I have a lot I have to put up with, and I have a lot that I can change, and my job is to do both.
Yeah. That felt so good.
You know.
Yep.
And then when you give a convincing argument to some of these yahoos, they say, oh, well, but that's, I wouldn't do that.
No, of course not.
No, of course not. It would require effort and intelligence, neither of which are blessed.
Yeah, of course not.
But
how have you been able to, you know, you have a lot of clients that come in that, you know, may not have a lot of stability in who they are. How do you, as your own being, stay on your foundation and not let any of that affect your path or who you are?
Well, first of all, we have to remember that doing what I do for a living allows me a clear, objective view of other people.
Well, yeah.
So it's fairly easy to leave those issues where they belong. The second thing is I don't take responsibility for anything but the information I give them. Mm-hmm. If they want to do it, fine. If they don't, they can blame me because that's what they paid for, is the right to blame me if they don't like it. And I have my own issues with which I have to deal. Nobody can sit on that couch across from me and have gone through anything or done anything that I haven't, with a couple of exceptions. So when I'm giving a reading, I'm coming from understanding, from compassion, from knowing what that feels like or what that thought process feels like. And I think that helps my client identify and be more honest with their self-evaluation, because I've been there and I'm not in judgment.
Yeah.
And I think that's critical if people are going to heal. You can't heal, as we've said, with something you can't talk about. And if you're in judgment about yourself, how are you going to heal your behavior if you're too busy criticizing yourself?
Yep.
I don't think it can be done.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, I got a... Before we went on air, I got a text message from a friend. Her husband just left her and her child, and he started dating just this past week or so.
She started dating, or he did?
He did. He left and started dating.
Well, yeah, why else would he leave?
Yeah, and she feels horrible. She's like, she was saying, oh, I was begging him to stay, and please, I'll change. And I'm like, why did you do that to yourself? Don't do that to yourself.
Right.
I'm like, you know, you are loved. You know, the text message I sent back to her, I was like, you are loved. Hang on, I'll call you in about an hour. But
right.
she is blaming herself for the failure of the marriage. And I'm like, you both, you know, it's two of you in the marriage. You know,
right.
If he's saying that it's because of you, then, you know, he's not seeing what reality is.
Well, obviously, there are two parts, but if only one person is willing to work on it, then
right.
They're better off on their own.
Right, right.
And, I mean, we have no way of knowing whether it is all her fault or not, you know.
Yeah.
But
berating yourself, you know, saying, oh, I should have did this and that, that's not helpful. I mean, you have this 2-year-old son.
Well, what you should have done doesn't work. Doing what you should have done will work.
Yes. So you have this 2-year-old child that now that you're taking care of without a husband. Okay, let's focus on that now. I mean, that's the only thing I could.
Well, the child picked the parent. So the child obviously needs divorce in its life to learn its spiritual lesson. But she has to get through her own lesson with it.
Right, and that's what I was saying, because Bill...
You know,
cause Bill,
a marriage license is not a license to rule.
Say that one more time.
A marriage license is not a license to rule.
Right.
You know, and women can't seem to get it through their heads that men don't change.
Yeah, and I mean, if she said that, she was like, I take accountability for that.
And the other piece of it is that women don't change either.
Yep.
Because they go in assuming they're right.
Yes.
Men are smart enough to ignore them if they're going to stay married. I asked one guy once, how do you put up with it? And he says, I ignore it.
Oh.
I make pleasant noises when they're required, and I go on with what I'm doing.
But that's not a way to live, though.
Well, it may not be, but it was his choice of dealing with that situation.
Oh, yeah.
And then she wants to know why he isn't more forthcoming or more romantic or more tender. And he says, I'm not going to wrestle with a porcupine.
Yeah.
Why do I want to get closer to her? She already hurts from where she is.
That's sad.
And men, there are some men that are just as bad, no question.
Yeah.
It's just that we seem to be in a period of time where women who are already the most overprotected majority in history are blaming men for everything.
But that's been a while. I mean, that's like my husband, he said he grew up where he felt like him as a man, he was blamed for everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that influenced, you know, how he treated me when we first started dating. And I was like, what? I'm like, I like you to open the door for me. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like you to do that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know.
Well, nobody wants true equality.
What's that mean?
Well, you want equal rights, but you don't want to have to do equal work.
Oh, right, because he
you
has
want
to
all your old privileges along with all of these things.
Yeah, but he still has to take out the trash can. But we talked about this. I was like, you know what? I really don't like taking out the trash can. I don't know why. And
yeah, but you guys work it out.
Yeah, we do.
You know, these other people are constantly at each other.
Yeah. Who wants to live like that? I think, yeah, who wants to live like that? I don't.
No, I don't think. I don't think any relationship can work when it's all one way. I was watching some of the commercials the other day.
Mm-hmm.
If they had women in the place of the men in the commercials, the women would be outraged.
I know. I really do not like how they perceive men.
They always portray men as goofs and fools, yes, and dumb and so on. They don't mind spending their money, but they want, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous.
There's been studies done on that. I've seen studies on that. And that's the more the male is portrayed as less than, the more product is sold or something like that.
Probably.
But I was like, I don't want that.
But increasingly, men aren't wanting to get married. And, you know, I don't wonder why. I know why. Who wants to be trapped with a porcupine? You know what I mean?
But they're talking about how millennials, both men and women, they don't want to get married. There are less people getting married nowadays.
Right. And they don't even have enough childbirths in Japan to maintain the population.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, nobody's growing. I mean, nobody's having kids.
Nobody wants to have
But,
men.
You know, it's true. And
did not know that.
Yeah.
So, just to review, I know we were talking about suicide, and then I, of course, got us off on a tangent on some other
Thank God.
Things going on.
I mean, suicide is a limited topic.
Oh, it
Once
is.
Once you've done it, it's over.
It is.
Yeah.
That's one of, like, if you look at, like, my social feeds, that's one of the things that I, like, tweet out the most is, you know, if you're thinking about suicide, here's the number to call. Here's the national number. Just call. Mm-hmm. Somebody's there to listen. Just, if you have any thoughts, just call. I don't know.
Most of them don't.
Nope, I know. So heartbreaking.
Nope, it's always the minority that wants help.
So
most people don't want help because it involves work on their part.
Yeah. I'm willing to do the work, as I've said before.
Oh, gosh, me too.
Yeah.
But
you are the one that has helped me to this point in my life.
I appreciate that. It's helped me as well.
Well, I'm glad you're back in town, and I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous week.
Bye, thank you, my dear, and you as well. And have a great trip, and we'll talk when you get back.
Okay. All right. Well, this is our show. Thanks
Take
for joining
care,
us.
Take care, listeners. Let us know how you feel.
All right.
If you know. Bye.
Bye-bye.